Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Oh, she sounds so good. Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I'm here with my Maya Moon, and Stars Priestess Candy Ranson is in the chat room right now for those who would like to get a mini reading. That's our new commercial that's on the air. You can stream the music right from the site up at the top. Their logo is there, 107.9 Rewind, it's called, and we're about to change that commercial into a special offer for new clients. But to talk about the topic at hand, excuse me, can we talk? Have you ever been around someone that you don't know, like in a store or in a group even, and there's just something you want to say to them, but you don't know if you should or not? You get a feeling. I mean, I've had it happen to me. I'm sure Maya Moon's had it happen to her. And, you know, I try to block myself off when I'm in stores because I'm an empath, and sometimes I can go looking at people and I can just feel, oh, they're not having a good day today, or I feel so bad for them, the way they look, the way they walk, the way they carry themselves. But you have to kind of hold, you know, you have to restrain and not go up to everybody that you see. So oftentimes I have to really be compelled to do that, but that's what our topic and our discussion is going to be about tonight. And if you have anything to share or anything that you would like to add, you can call in, and the number is 347-838-9736. And we'll be happy to take your call, and you can share your things with us and let us know if it happens to you, if it's not happened to you, or if it hasn't happened to you, what do you do about it? Do you actually talk to that person? So, now, over to my lovely Maya Moon. What do you think about this, Maya Moon? What do you think?
Thank you. I actually love this topic, and I love it because not only as an expert or like a professional have I been in, and I'm going to share, and I think we had decided that this was going to be two parts because it's really intricate, and I really want to, you know, stress that we would love to hear your stories. You can remain anonymous. I mean, you know, if your name is Linda, you can go by Lulu. We don't care. We just want to hear from you. Don't be shy about talking on the air. It's just like having a conversation. So, I mean, you don't have to consider yourself a professional or an expert to have had. I'm sure there's many listeners. I know that in dealing with clients, from their perspective and just in dealing with life just on a regular general basis, you know, I've run into so many people that, for example, let's say it's a female that likes males and she met a male and everything's, you know, there was nothing, you know, glaringly wrong, but she said something didn't feel right. And, you know, this is kind of based on not really one particular story, but just kind of general something that I've heard several times. And something just felt, you know, she couldn't put her finger on it. And then when she introduced this person to a member of her family who was a female, that person said, there's something not right. And, of course, later on, it turned out that there was something. So I know that all of us as people get a feeling, like it can be someone that's standing in line next to us. You know, sometimes people will be what I would call creepers or creepy. You know, they look at us and, you know, maybe it's an maybe a male looking at a female in a predatory fashion. I mean, sometimes it can just be people that are socially awkward or obnoxious or just rude. But then there's that other element, that element of even sometimes visiting a place or, you know, people walk into a place, maybe they're looking to buy a home or to rent a house, and they're, you know, nice kitchen, great bedroom, but something just feels off. So that's what the conversation is about. And as always, we're really glad to have you listening. And we hope if you have a story or you have a question about, well, you know, how do I discern what is maybe just a fear or what is a true feeling? And I believe most of us as human beings, even if we've chosen to dismiss it or ignore it, have had that. Don't you think, Natalie, we've had some kind of paranormal, supernatural, metaphysical, spiritual experience?
Yes. And I'm thinking back to something that happened, and I think I said it on the air once about being at my granddaughter's soccer game, and this woman would always kind of avoid me. I think she was afraid of me because she figured I knew what was going on in her life. And remember, I think I talked about that she always seemed to have a hidden agenda. That's how I felt. And I think it's true, but it can be anybody. Like you said, it can be somebody brand new that you meet, even at a party, and you just kind of, I would do this. I pull back and say, something's wrong here. I may not even say anything to them. I might just keep it to myself, but I will watch and see what goes on. And I think that's like our little antenna up there, kind of like, you know, moving around. Is this real? Is this person right? Is there something wrong? Are they a little shifty? But that's true. And I'm trying to think back when I was in school if I could do that. I don't think so. I think it wasn't until I got older, Maya. I don't know about you. Were you like that when you were real young? I mean, could you detect something about someone and sometimes you really wanted to say something to them but you didn't?
Well, I don't. I mean, I think it's more macro. I don't remember. I don't really remember. I can tell you that my parents told me things. You know, my biological father has passed for many, many years, but my mom has told me things that when I was pretty young, like 4, 5 or so, things that I would say that were, you know, in that type of venue, you know, where I would say something, I would make a comment and say, oh, he's really mean to his wife or to Mrs. such and such. And, you know, but as like a young teenager, grade school, you know, I can't say that anything really stands out. High school, I started, you know, I have a couple of experiences. Oh, I have a lot, but I mean, I have a few that really, really stand out. One probably was to me one of the most difficult, and the other ones were just times where I just knew that I was supposed to go forward, and then the response was really, you know, interesting. And then I've had times where I have not been able to be around a certain person, and it's been a little bit awkward just because there was something about the energy that it just wasn't good. Even in my home, if the furniture has changed and it's a certain way, I almost feel like I get a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really sensitive. And I, you know, I'm sitting here thinking while I'm listening to you, and you do oftentimes want to stay away from those individuals that give you that feeling that they're probably not either not honest, they're mistreating someone. But for me, they usually stay away from me because they know I know. And I don't even tell anybody. But I always kind of, it's not really a scan, but I always kind of look at people quickly. And I like you, I mean, it's a gift, I think. I would be able to steer away from them if I knew that they were going to cause trouble. And you do know this, you remember this, though. When you're little, you would get along with certain kids, and then maybe one or two you would not. There was something about them that they were like the bad apple. They just caused trouble, and you stayed away from them. I did that when I was in school. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I would know right away. But, of course, I didn't know it was anything special. I thought everybody did that. I mean, nobody told me. I figured, oh, you know, this must be a normal thing. I don't even think I mentioned it to my friends, my girlfriends that I had. You know, what is wrong with them? You know, they just don't seem, you know, or they would pull away. They didn't want to be a part of anything. And oftentimes it means because they're hiding something. But, you know, I can really tell on the phone. If I call somebody, I mean, you know, like my son or my friend Diane, which I've talked about, you know, we've talked about her, I can tell if something is not right. I might not say anything, but I know there's something that's troubling them and has troubled them before I talk to them. But I kind of leave it alone because I know them really well. And, I'm, you know, some people just have bad days. I try not to do that around people. Maybe it's because of what I do. You know, maybe it's the business I'm in that I'm always open and friendly. But I do stay away from certain people. I just get this feeling about them that, nope, they're nothing but trouble. And sometimes you'll hear of somebody dating someone and they're causing them all of these problems. And I always thought to myself, if you meet somebody and you think this is going to be a nice relationship, there should not be a lot of drama. There just should not be. I mean, it should be really nice, don't you think? It should be run smooth. Oh, maybe you won't like this color or that color, but I'm talking about drama. There shouldn't be drama in a relationship, and that's really something to point out later on that, you know, sometimes you can tell if there's a lot of drama. That means maybe you should close the door on that. Maybe that's down the road. You're going to get too deep, and you're going to realize, oh, gosh, I knew this was going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to be good, or a girlfriend maybe that is already jealous, and you can tell right away, that's being sensitive to people that you're around. Strangers, it's, you know, sometimes you don't like to impose and say something to them like, oh, you're having a bad day. I only do it if it's really nudging me. And I don't know them. I mean, it's got to really nudge me. Like, you know, they could use some kind words today. They just, something happened to them today. You know, do you ever do that, Maya? You probably do that too.
I mean, I don't think that I'm as empathic maybe as you are. I'm probably more where I just get either a vision or I'm not really that much aligned with resonating with feelings as I am with needing to give someone a message or feeling that I was.
Right.
You know, a schedule change was made and feeling that I was put with this person for a reason. And
I do that too, yes, absolutely.
And then
that you have to realize that? If something gets changed, there's a reason for it. Or if plans fall apart, like you're supposed to do something with a friend, for example, and you don't. Something happens, like you can't go. They can't go. Well, maybe there's a reason you're supposed to be home that day and not go. I always look at it like that, too. Not that I get a hint in my head or anything, but you know how I am, how I talk to God constantly, and I just feel that I'm being led. I'm being shown. I don't even have to worry about thinking about it. I just trust it, and that's what I do. Even in business, it's the same thing. But, yeah, I see. Well, that's good that we're both different. That's really neat.
Mhm. Right. And you know, our experience.
Yeah, I don't get visions. I don't get visions. I might get ideas in my head, which I think are ideas or you know, something in my head I get, but I don't get visions like you do. And I can't hear all the time. Sometimes I can hear, but not always. Of course, I could be hearing, and I think it's just, you know, my mind working overtime. It could be too, but. I don't know, but I think it's really neat that you actually get something, a vision. Mine is more about senses. Yours is actually about seeing, correct?
Well, seeing, and then it's hard to describe because I don't hear it. It's not auditory, so it's not like there's an outside voice speaking to me. It's coming in my head, but I know that it's not from me, and I just get this You know, I mean, I'll tell a story. I mean, I have several, and I know you do too, so I know we'll be sharing some stories. But this is a story that was really a very bizarre thing, and I have a couple that I'll probably say were bizarre. This was about, I'm going to say 10 years ago maybe, maybe not that long, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. And I was, you know, going about my business. I was in the grocery store, and I was actually going to put up some cards, I think, on the board. Basically, I raised, and I've mentioned this before, I also raise and show Australian Shepherds. So I was going to put something up that had to do with that. That's what I was going to put up on this board. And there were two gentlemen that were, at the time, about 15 years my senior. And I wasn't really a young person. So it's not like I was a 20-year-old or anything like that. And I just got, I mean, my whole body just felt, I felt this physical, just like I was rooted. And I just had this overwhelming feeling. I was watching these two gentlemen interact. I mean, to describe them, I would say they were very average-looking, 60-ish, you know, ish, talking, and they were standing by the board. And when I went up, I had my shopping cart getting ready to do my groceries. And my heart was pounding, and I just got this overwhelming sense of dread. I honed into this one man, and I could not shake this message. And it was like I was being told, again, it wasn't anything auditory like someone was whispering in my ear. This all was in my head, energy, whatever you want to call it, telepathic. And I kept saying, you need to tell this man he needs to do these tests. Something is wrong. You have to tell him. Well, first of all, even though, I mean, I've been in this for pretty much my whole life, I was spooked. I really was.
Yes.
Because, first of all, I'm a female. There's two males. And I'm thinking, okay, they're going to think I'm a total crackpot. Are they going to kick me out of the store? Do I approach them? So I went with my basket, and I went around the corner, and I was calming myself down, and I was just trying to clear my head. And I just, you know, the thing is, I could not contain, my knuckles were white gripping the shopping cart, and I was probably shaking a little bit. And I was scared. I mean, I wasn't scared they were going to hurt me. They weren't, there was nothing menacing about them. I just thought, okay, what am I going to say? I mean, what
yeah,
am I going to say?
How do I start this?
I knew no matter what the outcome was, I said, okay, maybe this is the lesson. You know, what's the worst possible thing? It's not like I'm saying anything that is provocative. It was nothing like that. So I took a deep breath, and I whirled my basket around, and they were still standing there engaged in a conversation. I wasn't paying very close attention. So I don't know if one of them was maybe leaving the store and the other one was coming in or what. And I went up to the two men, and I said, excuse me. And then I directed my conversation at the one man. And I said, excuse me. I said, I know that probably what I'm about to say is going to sound really bizarre, and I really and truly do not want to offend you or make you uncomfortable. I said, I'm an intuitive, and I said, as I walked past you, I was just overcome with this urge, and I kind of put my hand, and again, there was nothing provocative about this. Nothing that could be taken like I was coming on to him. So I kind of just touched his arm, and you know they didn't back away from me like I thought they were going to be like, oh no, they didn't. He stood there, and I said, I'm an intuitive, and I don't know why that I'm getting this, but I said I have to tell you, this is about your health. Well, I saw the look in his face, so I knew that there was something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was with him, they exchanged looks. And he said, okay, I'm listening. And I said, I don't know what's going on, and I don't need to know. That's your personal business. But I said, I'm just being told that whatever this test is, whatever this is that they want to do, it's really important. You need to do this. You're going to be okay, but not if you ignore it. And they about fell to the floor. And the guy goes, you have to be kidding me. And the other guy who must have been maybe, they never did really say what their relationship was, but he obviously knew something. And he said, I can't believe this. And he just looked around. I mean, he was really in shock, but he was listening to me. So I just went on to tell him, you know, that I said, all I can tell you is that, you know, I work in the business, you know, professional, and I often get feelings, and I rarely approach people just out of the blue, you know, without having a conversation. Sometimes I'll be having a conversation, but without a conversation, just go right up and approach someone and have this experience. But I said I just couldn't ignore. It was too strong. So I'm here to tell you that you need to follow through and that this is really important. And so I just kept stressing it. I said, whatever's going on, you can't ignore this. You have to take care of it. So after he got over his shock, he said, I've got chills. And the other guy said, yeah, I did too. And he said, you want me to share with you? And I said, well, if you're comfortable, I mean, and so what he went on to tell me that he had been having some issues and that he had come from the doctor and that the doctor wanted to admit him to do some tests. I believe it was stomach issues, but he didn't really get into a lot of detail. But he did tell me that they were very concerned, and he had chosen at that point to blow it off. And he said he was just speaking to his friend saying, I told him, no, I'm not going to go through that. And he said, you telling me that is what I needed to hear because I think I was scared, and you can bet I'm going to call the doctor as soon as I leave here and be admitted. And I mean, they just stood there kind of looking at me, and I didn't even finish my grocery shopping. I couldn't. I was really upset. I was upset because it was just such a emotional, weird experience.
Exactly.
And I received such validation, and I felt good because I realized that maybe the guy would have gone home and had second thoughts anyways. That's very, very possible. For whatever reason, I was supposed to share that.
Exactly.
And I'm glad that I did, and I'm glad that, you know, I think when our intentions are truly honorable.
That's right,
that,
intent.
Right. Something must have shown to them. They must have seen me, you know, that I was uncomfortable and I was unsure, but I just felt really guided. So that was probably one of the most intense experiences as far as approaching a stranger face-to-face, an encounter with a stranger, rather than someone where you have small talk and then you start maybe, you know, passing along some information, which is a little bit different because you've already got a rapport versus me just cold going up to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Which normally I would avoid doing just because, like you said, you kind of shut the doors. And I do too because otherwise it's just like so much noise.
Right. And I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking back for myself, even doing readings, I would, instead of allowing what I was getting to come out of my mouth, I would not let it, I would stop. I mean, you know, whatever it was. I mean, this happened to me many times, and one thing that happened to me, not as much as yours, but I was in a shoe store, and it's called The Walking Company, and this lady was just so nice to me. They let make you stand on this mat. I had to carry these two handbags on each shoulder because it wouldn't, because I don't weigh enough, and the stupid thing wouldn't register me. And we were all laughing. I mean, I just hit it off with her. So we're walking in the store, you know, she's showing me different things, and it's for people that have very narrow feet. I have a high arch. I have a small foot. And she was at the register, and I kept, something was gnawing at me, and I didn't even know what it was, but as soon as I opened up my mouth, I touched her hand, and I said, "You're worrying about one of your children. Don't worry about them. They're going to be just fine. Just watch who they hang out with." I don't even know where that came from.
Wow.
I have no clue. But you see, for me, see, you've done it a lot. For me, I hold it all back. I don't, and I really should. I mean, I get all kinds of information. Sometimes I get too much information in my head, and I have to, like, get away from the computer because I get an awful lot while I'm sitting at it. But, you know, I that's the first time. Now, I'm probably going to see her again this week. And she looked at me, and she wasn't afraid, and she said, "Oh," she said, "well, you know, I really am worried about my son." And we talked a little bit about it. And I said, you know, I would not have said this had we have not kind of just hit it off. You know, some people you just have an instant rapport with. And you feel you can tell them things. And yours was really bizarre. Mine was easy. But, you know, you have to say to yourself, well, when do I let it come out? When do I do that? You know, I think if I was around more people, I could do it. But I remember reading my cards even, and I would hesitate because I knew what the card was saying, you know, and I didn't tell them that. And then they'd end up at, like if it was about a gentleman in their life, and I didn't say anything, and I was kicking myself because I knew. I already
right.
knew. It, you know, I was second-guessing myself. And I think the more you do it, I always say this, the more you do it, the more you do it. And that's exactly what it is. But you have to be careful. Some people you cannot approach. I've seen people like at cash registers, and they just look miserable. And that's when I've told you this before. That's when I'll just say, you know, everybody's new at something. Don't worry about it. You're going to have a great day. A week from now, you're going to laugh at all of these experiences, because I said to them, this is your first day, right? Oh, yeah, and they get this look. I said, don't worry about it. We were all new at something. Always remember that. And I think sometimes if you, even if it's words of encouragement, yours was encouragement, you wanted him to do this, I bet you any money he did go. I bet you any money. If he thought about it, here's a woman that comes up to me out of the blue, I would listen to you if he came up to me.
Well,
you know?
Especially if he, you know, I mean, if he didn't know anything was wrong, then he probably would have,
he would have laughed
know.
At you and said, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. But see, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all.
Right. But now I have, and I have a funny story that's on the opposite that someone told me that wasn't, turned out to not be accurate. So
okay, you do that
funny.
Because we have a caller. So while I talk to the caller, you take it over.
Okay, so when I was a mother, I was married, and my first son was born when I was 21, 22. I'd been married for a couple years. And my mom knew that I had gifts, and I was well aware of them, and I used them from time to time. I wasn't, you know, full-time doing it, but I was actively doing it. But they were having a psychic fair, and my mom really wanted us to go. She said, let's just see, you know, I want to see what they say about me. Because reading for my family has never been, I can get some things, but I mean, to do it on a regular basis, it's just, you know, I feel like I have too much at stake, my hopes or fears for them. So she convinced me, and we had I had a younger sister who was 10 years younger than me, so I was probably 23 at the time, 24. My son was a couple years old, so my sister would have been 12 or 13. So we go to this psychic fair, and my mom chooses she's going to treat us. And so she talks to him, and then even my little sister talked to him, and then I talked to him. And he did get some things right about my life. And he did tell me that I was gifted and that one day that would be all that I would be doing, which that part was accurate. But what he did tell me is that there was something wrong with my son I'm trying to think exactly what he told me with his kidneys, and that it was imperative that I have the doctor do a scan, because otherwise my son, I mean, he really was a little bit more formidable than I would ever be in any encounter or reading, as far as, you know, almost saying, you know, your child's going to die, which, you know, having a two-year-old versus what my story that I shared earlier, I was telling a very mature person. And at the time, there was nothing wrong with my son, but I couldn't shake it. So the pediatrician that I had was, I just want to stop and check with Natalie and see if we have a caller.
We do. Her name is Mary, and she's from Texas, and she's had experiences like, she says, oh, yeah, like at a cash register, and, you know, yeah, and I asked her if she wanted to talk on the air, so I'll bring her in now, okay?
Sure. Yeah, great.
And live there. Hi, Mary. You're out live on the air. You've got Stars Maya Moon and Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. You have a story you would like to share with us, or something that happened to you? I know you and I discussed a little bit about it.
Yes. Yes, I was pretty much listening to the other talk show host there that she was talking about. When you approach people, when you go out and you see these people that look miserable on their jobs. So that kind of brought up a point where they're miserable in their jobs, and we don't know what they're going through in life. We all don't know what they're going through. But just to be kind, you know, to that person that day, you know, you probably made their day that day, you know. And
right, exactly.
You know,
I've
worked. Excuse me, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead, Mary. I talk enough. Go ahead. You take on.
I've worked a lot with a lot of people in the public, in where they shop or even where they work. I've seen both sides because I have experienced a lot of different experiences, a lot of different aspects of people's lives every day. And today I stand where I've grown to closer to God. I can say that first. And he actually gave me that wisdom to understand what was going on around me, because then I was in the same shoes almost, but my shoes, you know, instead of wearing their shoes and wondering, what did I do wrong? You know, I've always blamed myself. What did I do wrong to this person for them to treat me that way? Or for them to come in miserable to work? Is it me or is it them? Or it was hard to understand, you know, the younger I was, when I grew into getting more experience and being around the public and other human beings, if you want to call us that, but actually in the supernatural, which we believe in, spirit, you know, God, our creator, you know, we all have different levels in expanding our knowledge on life, and they haven't reached where we are out now today, just like you and Natalie, you know.
Yeah. What do you think, Maya? I mean, I think, you gain wisdom as you get older. Sometimes there's younger people that have a lot of wisdom. But talking about going to somebody and kind of comforting them, because you know they don't have to say anything to you. You just know they had a bad time of it, a bad day, a bad something. You just know. And just think how you make these people feel. I mean, when I do it, I walk away and I feel like this big burst of light inside me. I just feel so good that I was able to even give them a few minutes, a few seconds, to know that maybe they'll start thinking, oh, well, you know what? It's really not that bad. No, it's not. But,
yes.
And Maya, you know,
and
you've had a lot more
what you're
experiences.
Giving to them, what you're giving to them is your inner spirit, your inner light, your inner power
oh, yeah.
of life
oh, yeah.
that God put
oh,
you
yeah.
there
I
to do,
do
that for
Maya
that person.
Does it too. Maya does it too. She, you know, and Star's Priestess Candy is in the chat room right now. She does it also. We're very, very lucky, but you have to be able to speak to people. You can't. I try, but see, I'm always in stores, and I see too many people, and I try not to even look at them because, like Maya said, right, Maya, I'm an empath. Yeah. I'm a big-time empath, and I have to be careful. But I don't like to close.
Do you see that?
I mean,
you guys
got to
tell me that because, yes. Do you see that in me? Because that's what I have been dealing with all my life. And for some reason, you crossed my path today, and you're talking about that. And I've been trying to explain to the people around me and people I've known that I am empath. I have to be careful where I go.
Well, Maya, maybe you want to take on this conversation with her.
Well, I'm married. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And when you are, you know, you're obviously, I can feel it, and you're sharing your story. You are an empath, and it can make, I mean, it is beautiful because I do believe that, I would agree with you, it comes from God, the divine, and spirit, which always is about our light and our love inside of us. However, there's always the positive and the negatives, and it can be a burden because at times we can feel the heaviness of other people and their lives, and we so want to, you know, try to relieve that by, you know, maybe offering some Christian support or maybe just a general statement of having a good day. But when you are a true empath, which it sounds like empath you are, it can make it difficult. Like, do you find it sometimes difficult to be in very crowded places with a lot of people?
Yes, I do. Sometimes I do and then sometimes I don't. It depends on the crowd. Like when I go to church, even there's some there that I could feel their thoughts. I sense their thoughts. I could feel their feelings. I could feel their insecurity. They're scared of approaching, you know, closer to God. I could feel, you know, that when I'm with around my congregation and when I'm like at with some friends at a club around people that I know that maybe I shouldn't be here, you know, but I still go because they invite me, and I just want to be polite. But yes, ma'am, I sure do go through that, and it's in different levels of empathy depending where I put myself. You know, like when you went shopping to that store and you only ran into a few people on your path. You know, where you're thinking about, okay, I'm going shopping. I need to get this, that. So your mind is totally like in a different state of mind. But when you become empath, it just, boom, it'll hit you every now and then. It's just not like you're walking around empath all day.
Very true. And you, I'm sure you've experienced, I know I have, where I have been in like a mall situation or a social gathering, and it started out where I was having fun and comfortable, and then something shifted. It could have been a person that entered, or it could have just been the energy, but something shifted, and I just was not able to relax. I ended up excusing myself and leaving because I just, it's not physical, but it's almost as if for people that are not empathic or don't experience this or don't regularly, like, you know, like Mary, our caller, does, or Natalie or myself. Imagine if you had gone to a party and you were feeling great and you were enjoying the refreshments and, you know, whatever they were serving, and then suddenly you got a terrible headache or a terrible stomach ache, and as much as you really wanted to just ignore it and stay, you finally said, I'm just going to have to leave. That's the best way I can describe, even though we don't get, at least I don't really get a headache or a stomach ache, it's that kind of pressure, except it's just energy, and it's a feeling that is just, it is relentless. I mean, we don't, like Mary said, it doesn't always happen. I never know if I go somewhere, it just can suddenly come on. But when it does, now, do you find that to be true, Mary, that you can be, you know, interacting with people and it can feel right, and then suddenly you just feel you really need to exit the situation.
Yes, because I've been in situations already where I've gotten ill, because that person was ill, and that person ended up feeling better that day or the next day. It's like I pick up what they're carrying, you know, and it's a negative situation, a negative, it's hard to explain, but it just like feels like it entered me, you know, and me being around them.
That's being an empath, actually. That's what empaths do. Is
yeah.
They'll pull on things, pull into themselves what somebody else is going, like anger, sadness. I mean, that happens to me all the time, but I don't even look at people when I'm in stores because I don't want to.
yeah.
It's okay when I'm with somebody. Like today I was with my son, and I was looking around. He went off one way, and I'm looking for a card for my granddaughter, and I look at somebody over down the aisle, and I go, nope, don't look at her. Don't look at her. I just had to look quick, and I could tell what was going on with her, and I just shut it out real fast because I just didn't really want to do that, because sometimes it will change your whole mood. It will change how you are for that day. I mean, it can be overwhelming, and I know you can shield yourself from stuff like that, but, I don't know. I just think I'm strong enough that I could do it on my own. I don't really...
That's
you know
what I haven't
saying,
gotten
Maya?
Yet, where you're at.
Yeah, I
where
just...
Where you're at,
I
where
just,
you're strong enough. To walk through
I
won't
just,
be there one day.
Yep, I can look at somebody and I can actually cry because I'm looking at them and I know, but I don't allow myself that because then it changes how I am. Like if I'm with my granddaughter, she's going to say, Graham, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? You know, she would make a big deal. All of a sudden I'm crying about something. So I'm really careful with that. But yeah, you know, and telling people things, you know, sometimes you just have to. You just have to take that leap and just do it. And
yes.
So, Maya, you have other stories, I'm sure, that you will tell us, right?
Yeah, I was going to finish the one that was actually told to me that turned out to be it kind of a funny story.
Okay.
So, well, while you were talking with Mary, I was telling about my mom dragged me when I was a young mother. I was married and my oldest son was a few years old, and, you know, I've never been able to accurately read for my family members or myself. I mean, occasionally I'll get a vision, but at any rate, she convinced us to go to the psychic fair, and we went, and the person seemed, they were accurate with a few things that they told me, but they honed in on my young son. I remember at the time he was about 2-3 years old, and they said I needed to get him to a doctor immediately, that he had some kind of malformation, like in the kidneys or bladder, and that if I didn't get, if they got a scan or an X-ray or whatever they did back then, he was born in 79, so that they, you know, they would find it, and it was just absolutely, you know, I mean, the person was a lot more formidable is the word that I used. I would not come across, even if I felt that I would have been, I would have really watched what I said to a young mother. And he right away, he said, you know, you're psychic. And I said, yes, I know that. I mean, I didn't say it like, you know, arrogantly. I just said, you know, because I don't think he knew if I knew, but I did know. So long story short, my pediatrician, who I absolutely adored, was in 40-ish or something, and he was what I would call an East Indian, had an accent, and he was just a lovely man. And I believe it or not, I made an appointment. And the reason why I did this is because I knew from my own personal experiences that when I got something, generally there was some truth to it. So I kept thinking, what if I don't do this? What if I don't take this chance? What if I don't listen? And so I kept telling this doctor, you know, we called him Dr. Rue, because he had a long name that I could never have pronounced. And I kept telling him, I think there's something wrong. And so he said, well, I don't know. But he said, okay, if you feel that strong, we'll do it. So they did it and nothing showed up. And so when we met back with him to go over the results, and he said, no, 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 no. I mean, he had an accent, and again, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to mimic him because it was really a funny ending and a happy ending. But he was not judgmental of me. He just said he was trying to show me the X-ray and say, see, this is this, and this is all normal, and there's nothing wrong. He goes, why so worry? And I said, well, I told him the truth. I said, because I went to a psychic, and here I'm one, keep in mind. And I said, this psychic told me that I really needed to do this because my son's life was in danger. And he goes, oh, no. And so it all ended well. And, I don't know, maybe that, in all fairness, having the experience that I have had so many years doing this, maybe that person picked something up that was potentially going to be a part of my son's life and never came to fruition, never came to be. My son is now 37 years old, and he does not and never has had any type of kidney, bladder, no problems whatsoever, no stomach issues. So there's no correlation, but I just thought I would share that because even though I was seeking the advice or counsel, if you will, that person, first of all, the delivery was not probably the best delivery that it could have been. He could have just said, you know, well, I feel like there could be an issue and that's something to keep an eye on. And, you know, but the person was like adamant, like, oh, you need to do this. And I really thank that pediatrician because he did that, because I asked him, and then when I told him why, he didn't say, oh, you fool, you know. I mean, he just said, no, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. So I just thought it was funny. I just thought it was kind of a lighthearted story to share about being the recipient of someone saying something to you and how, you know, both Mary and you, Natalie, are talking about lifting people's spirits and giving them some light and love and you know, empathizing with their day and things being bad. And that's, it's all in the delivery too, versus saying, it's your new day, get over it, snap out of it, you know, grow up and mature, everybody. You're being kind, you're being thoughtful, you know, or you're just touching someone on the shoulder and saying, you know, I can tell you're having a bad day, it's going to get better. So I'll turn it over to you, Natalie. But anyway, that was, I mean, I do thank God that my son was okay, yes.
Where'd
Are you
go?
There?
Where did she go?
I don't know, Natalie. She might just be answering. It might be another caller. So, Mary, so you've had you know, a lot of times where you feel feelings and pick up on what people are going through, good, bad, or...
Yeah, like the other day recently, my aunt tells me my cousin was in the hospital. Okay, and I believe in the power of prayer. And when I go around her and help her do things and take her places here and there because she's 69, I could pick up the things on her, you know, and my cousin. And that's where I had to draw the line and say, okay, that's enough. I'm draining. I'm feeling drained. I need to go.
Right.
And that's where I go get in prayer, and I have to pray up again. And, like, was that her name? What was her name? The one that we lost?
Well, Natalie.
She's the
founder of STARS.
Yes, when she said that I could heal myself, yes, I can heal myself. But, there, you know, it's just that's why people don't understand me. I can't be around a lot of the what they call the worldly world, because there's so much negativity in this world today more than we are, which are a little bit positive, but God sees us all the same. You know what I'm saying? And it, like I was saying, we can't turn it on and off, so we really don't mean to impose on these people thoughts or things. It's just that that's the way God made us, you know, and we're people too. you know, and we just have that gift. To me, it's a positive thing because God puts us here for a reason. Either you're going to, either way, we're going to make the world a better place, help him. I believe in, you know, that we heal people. We can heal people, and we're helping God. That's what I believe in. And it's all because of him. It's not us. It's because of God himself.
Right. Well, we're just kind of, you might say we're vessels or we're messengers. Yeah. That's how I see myself. I don't feel that I, as myself, that I have any particular gifts or abilities. I believe that I was blessed with the ability to send and receive messages. And, you know, some people are more healers. And either way, when you're dealing with energy like that in a profound way, it is draining. And you're right, you do have to kind of recharge, whether that's through prayer or meditation. I mean, we have a lot of people spirit with different spiritual and religious beliefs. But ultimately, you know, our goal should be of love, the intention of love. And I always go by the motto of first do no harm. So that whatever I am going to do is going to serve their highest good and path, which can sometimes be to be honest with someone about something that they may not particularly want to hear, but is what they need to hear, because we can only honor with truth. Lies do not honor.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I decided to put myself on mute. I don't know why my phone was on mute. I'm thinking, why can't they hear me? Okay, all right, well, I'm back. But you guys are doing a good job. I'm listening away. Oh, funny.
Yay.
But, I think both of you have had some great experiences. But what's really unique is they're all different. You know, I used to go in church, and when I was a little girl, we'd go every morning to Mass before I went to high school. I wasn't a little girl. I was in high school. And I used to kneel there, and I'd think to myself, you know, why is it everybody comes here? Do they think God is not everywhere? Why do we have to go to church? I used to think that. I used to think that. Well, what is he only? His presence is only here in the church? And I used to think that the nuns and the priests were picked, especially by God. He came and he said, okay, you're going to be a nun, you're going to be a nun, but I was taught by nuns. But the thing about God is everywhere, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we are of the light, and I continue every single day to be good to everybody and tune into them and say sweet things to them. I'm never angered by anything, ever. I mean, it's okay. It's going to be okay. It's fine.
I used to get angry.
Yeah, I don't even think I ever did as a little girl. I didn't either. What about you, Maya?
Not too much, but...
Oh, I get angry. But I tend to funnel my anger unless it's justifiable and I feel that it's really important for me to step up for myself and assert myself. I usually will channel my, you know, the Walmart battle, I call it, because, you know, here we have Walmart headquarters. So pretty much everybody shops at Walmart just because they're huge and they have everything. And, you know, when you go to return something or you've ordered something, it's not in and you have these things. So that's more frustration than anger. But rather than take it out on the cashier or whomever I'm dealing with, which I know it's probably not their, I mean, it's a sequence of events that have happened. I have a really silly side, and I tend to channel that. And so one of the things that I do if I think that it's going to be a confrontational issue is I use I actually do have a handicap thing, so I'm not really breaking any laws, just to be clear on that. But I'll get one of the scooter basket thing, and then also, you know, like go up to the front and you know, when I'm dealing with them, then I'll get out my phone and say, well, I need to, you know, take a picture of this interaction. And the people's responses are priceless. So I do get mad, but I channel it differently. And I've had some really fun times with people that started to get upset and then realized what I was doing. And we laughed and we had a great time and it all worked out. So, but I told you, I do have a little bit of an off sense of humor, and I realize not everybody can appreciate it. Some people can, you know, and some can't. But as far as really being angry and yelling at people, no, I don't really.
I've never done that. Never.
When I was younger, perhaps, but even then, I just wasn't a volatile person.
We're still learning. That's what happened. In your case, what you're talking about, we're still learning.
Yeah, we're all learning. Our learning doesn't end until we leave this world, and then I believe it's just a different form of learning. So I believe, we're definitely all learning. Absolutely.
That's where you stand, because I stand there too. Because talking about something like situation like that, I was at because I'm handicapped too in some ways. You know, I have a lot of illnesses, and I know that one day I'm going to break through the grace of God and His mercy and the healing of that I can get, you know, with prayer and everything that I believe in so much myself first. But I was at the Social Security office, and I sat there, and I got bored, so I started taking pictures and videotaping because I planned to write a book, okay?
Watch them fighting in line. How cute is that? That's cute.
I plan to write a book, you know, because I see myself like this now, you know, and in my head, something tells me you're not going to be like this forever, Mel. My nickname is Mel, but my name is Mary. And I'm like, okay. So I'm taking these pictures, and then I felt this negativity just approaching out of nowhere, and the security comes and taps me on my back. With rudeness, yeah. I mean rudeness. And he says, you can't be taking pictures in here. And I looked at him, I said, where does that say? Can you show me where it says? So that upset him. The words that I just said to him, it upset him. And I was like, it doesn't say anywhere that I can't do that. He goes, well, it's against the law. If you don't erase them, this will be...
No, it isn't.
He said... If you don't erase them, this will be the end of your day today, or the end of it today, or something. He tried to tell me he's going to kick me out of the Social Security office. Well, I'm sitting down, and he's standing up right behind me, and the lady next to me is saying, wow, he's just being rude, you know, in her mind, you know. And I'm like, okay. I said, I erased it. He goes, well, let me see. Let me make sure. I said, I'm not giving you my phone.
That's right.
Well, if you don't, he goes, if you don't, that'll be the end of your day today. You know, he's threatened me again that he's going to kick me out. And so I went in my phone. I'm saying, okay, God, I'm just going to erase this. I don't want no problems. So he scared me. I need to see the Social Security office personnel. And so I erased it all. I said, okay, are you happy now? He says, yes. I'm like, okay. So then I went over there, and they called my number, and I sat there, and they said, and I told her that the man was rude, how he approached me and everything. I wanted to put a complaint in because I believe people need to be trained properly if they're in that position, especially in a government position, and you're working for the government, and you're taking advantage of this power that you have over people like me or anybody, you know? And I'm sitting there, and I said, look, I said, I do want to put a complaint in, and this is what happened. And then I needed a name of my doctor, and I said, well, can I call real quick my doctor, and I'll get her full name, because I'm trying to be my own, take advantage of my own monies in the Social Security office. That's what I did that day. And I was trying to do it myself. And then next thing you know, he sees me on the phone, and I felt that he was still watching me. I said, I know he's still watching me. And I got on the phone real quick, and then he comes again, and he goes, you can't be on your phone. He goes like that to me. You can't be on your phone. And I said, and the lady looked at him. I said, see, it's just like he's eyeing me, you know, like he has this, I don't know, it was just all negativity in him. I know it wasn't him. You know how they say that the entities are out there that are out there to come against you. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray for this guy, you know, I'm going to pray. I said, okay, I'll be right back. So I stepped out for a minute because she told me to step out the door, and I did it real quick, got the name, came back in. And she got my name and my phone number down, and then she said they would call me back so I could put my complaint in, because she told me that everybody that was there was in a business meeting. All the upper management was in, just got on a conference call or something with somebody or something. I said, okay. So I gave him my name and number, but I never received a call back from them. Did I continue to approach it? No, I didn't, because I think something was done about it. That's how I felt. So they would do something about it. And then I said, I have a witness to everything that happened to me, I told her. I said, and that witness was sitting right next to me, so it was another one, but I only got one name of one of the witnesses, phone number, to back me up. But I never got a phone call back from that manager or that director or person in charge of that office over here in Texas, of the Social Security office, to call me back and tell me sorry or anything, not even a letter or nothing.
Hmm. I have another call here coming in, Maya, so you take it over, okay?
We're getting ready. We're at the end of the hour.
Yeah, I got two more callers. Yeah, I extended it, but yes,
yay,
I will get to them. Just go ahead, keep talking. Yeah. I know you can do that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Maya.
Well,
what do you think about that?
I've been in similar situations, and I think that we just have to release the negativity and put it in the hands of, you know, God or universe, whatever your beliefs are, and try to move on. You know, we try to seek justice, but we don't always see we don't always bear witness to that justice. We just have to believe in our hearts that it's going to come. And one thing that I tell clients a lot, and I try to live by the same thing, is that we always have to remember that bad things can happen to good people. And you can be a good person, and bad things, unfair things, challenging things can occur and happen. So, you know, we have to be careful that we don't allow, not that I'm suggesting that you did, but I know that a lot of people who have had some pretty horrific experiences, different situations, you know, tend to let that define them, and they have to be able to be stronger and learn that, you know, it's just the experience. It doesn't define you as a person, you know.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm back.
Okay, so do we have anybody else on?
No, they just want readings. You know, I have to announce on the air, we did readings for a really long time, and we stopped doing those about, a year and a half ago, right, Maya?
I guess we should probably wrap it up and say goodbye,
yes,
because we're going to be back.
Well, can I say something real quick?
Sure, Mary,
can
go ahead.
Can I say something real quick? I think you guys are doing great, and this is the next step above readings for people, to actually talk about their gifts that they have that not are quite like where you're at or Maya's at, both of y'all are at, or where I'm at. And this is actually cool. I like that. I like this, what you're doing. God bless you, y'all guys.
You can call back next week too, you know, Mary. You can always come back. We're always here Mondays from 8 to 9, different topics. I think we're going to continue this one, aren't we, Maya?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
this is a good topic.
I see you going somewhere. Pardon me?
I see y'all going somewhere with this. Yes, okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay.
God bless y'all.
Have a good evening, and thank you for calling.
You too. Adios.
Okay, Maya. So, I guess we can call it a night. I want to thank everybody. I'm going to let you say your good nights first, Maya.
Well, good night, everyone. Glad we had a call in. And we have a lot more experiences to share. And remember, if you have one and you just want to share an experience or share something, and just to be clear, and I'm sure Natalie will cover this, we are not doing readings online. We have the chat room open, but the call in is just to share an experience, our general topics, you know, whatever our topic is, just to add general. There's no personal readings given on the radio at all. So sorry if there's anything was said to allude to that fact. But we do love you listening, and I thank you all very much, and I'll see you next week, same time, same channel.
Okay, and this is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. Please go to Stars with a Z, psychics.com. You can reach Stars Maya Moon there. You can reach Stars Priestess Candy Ransom because she's in the room. I'm not going to say she mans the room. She womans the room. How's that sound? And does a great job, and she does all the marketing for me on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. She works with little magic fingers of hers, so we have to tell her thank you. We love her, too. And, of course, Maya, I love you. You know that. And I love doing this. Sometimes you have a day, even we have a day, but then when on a Monday and we know, oh, gosh, we get to talk on the air and laugh and chat, and it's really good. It's a healing thing, too. It makes you feel really good. Even like Mary said, it's really a good thing. So call in and talk to us, and we love it. Or go in the chat room and chat with Candy. She's there. And with that, we're going to continue this topic next week. And we'll see you then. Same channel, same time, 8 to 9 p.m. And with that, I will say goodnight and love you. Bye.